Andrew Walker and Satie Arshaw, our next guest, 16 years in the NHL, won a Stanley Cup with the Calgary Flames in 1989, and then saw the error of his ways, and 3 years later, came to the Vancouver Canucks and played in a Stanley Cup final with them. He is the great Tim Hunter. He joins us on Sportsnet 650. How you doing, Tim?
Boy, I like that. The great Tim Hunter. Wow. Thank you.
we were just talking about how, well, man, the game has changed so much. The league leader in penalty minutes this year was Evander Kane. He had 122. I was looking at your stats. You had 108 penalty minutes in one playoffs. What's happened? What's happened to the world?
Well, there's so many good players through the lineup now. There isn't room for those old slugs that we used to be, and and the you know, having two and three enforcers on a team at a time. No, the game is so much faster, better. The players are smarter, more disciplined. There's more teams. Obviously, when I broke in, there was only 21 teams, and now there's going to be 32 shortly.
So when, obviously these pandemic playoffs are a little different, Tim, from anything we've seen before, but when you were playing in Vancouver, you went on three playoff runs, including the Cup Final in 94. What do you remember the most about playoff hockey in Vancouver in that time period?
Well, even then, you know, you're in your own kind of bubble. You're in your own little world because you isolated yourself from, you know, a lot of times we'd stay at the hotel away from our families and just kind of hunker down and have a bit of a road mentality where everyone was together. We spent a lot of time together and you got to think and talk about the game, and, you know, before and after as a group. So it's not quite the bubble they're in now, but, you know, it was much the same. And, you know, we really stayed close and Pat was just a master of handing the team over to the players and making us accountable to each other and making us kind of steer the ship. Now, obviously, he had the, you know, the X and O's and the motivation. But just as far as us being a close group and the leaders making sure everyone was involved, you know, and that's what you see in the, you know, right now these guys are, you know, they're more than close. They're spending so much time together. I think it's great. You know, we didn't have a mandated thing where everyone stayed at the hotel, but a lot of guys decided to stay at a hotel even when the games were at home. We'd skate in the morning, then we'd stay in the hotel in the afternoon. Then you'd go home after the game, obviously. Game day, we were kind of in that game mentality. It's different now, obviously. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I hope I never see it again.
You're right. I mean, we all hope we don't ever see this stuff again. But one of the things a lot of guys talk about, like yourself, is remembering those moments when you were together on the road a lot, and especially in the playoffs, and you're kind of going through these battles together. So from that aspect, and as an even playing field for all these teams, because they're all kind of going through the same thing again, but how important does that kind of become as far as how well guys work as groups, how well they not necessarily get along at all times, but respect each other and able to kind of move forward as a group? Because this is even more intense than ever before, because they're never leaving their bubble, as opposed to you would have a chance to go see your family a bit, even if you wanted to, you know, when it's not a pandemic.
Well, that's just it. And any team that's ever successful, the first quote you'll hear them say about what made them successful is because they're a close-knit group. And, you know, each and every team is going to have its own little thing that brings them together or galvanizes them, whether it's a loss or something, some symbol or something that brings them all together, or, you know, somebody that they're trying to, you know, win for that's been important to them. Those are all galvanizing things that bring teams closer together. And the teams that have great leadership and that have coaching staffs that are able to use the little things to help galvanize the team. And, you know, right now there's lots of penalties being taken and there's lots of fighting going on, which is it's uncharacteristic of the way the regular season went. So more fights this year so far than, you know, probably last year in the early going. But I think it's because the stakes are on the line. Teams are playing hard, and the teams that are smart and teams that are disciplined that can play on the edge and not go over the edge will be the teams that have success. But it starts with guys you know, being in the room and making sure they don't want to let the guy beside them down or the guy across from them down.
Tim Hunter is our guest on Sportsnet 650. How much of that is due to the fact that, like, these teams got to get themselves going emotionally? There's no crowd to feed on. The series are so short. They don't want to be caught in this, hey, we're playing, you know, some elements of summer shinny. Like, we've seen, you're right, a bunch of fights, and it's almost like, you know, these players really want to make sure they drag themselves into the competition.
Yeah, there's no tomorrow. I mean, it's, you know, the best of five series is, you know, you blink and it's over. And, you know, back in the day, we're involved with them. You know, we won a big one in 86 to start the playoffs to beat Winnipeg. You know, we won three straight, but, you know, they had a hell of a team. And, but we made some trades, got John Tinelli and a couple other guys and just down the stretch. And, you know, we became a real close team real quick. You know, the details are really important. And, you know, I'm not going to pat myself in the back, but the foot soldiers and the guys that are, mm-hmm. you know, those guys that go out and block shots and kill penalties and take a punch to score a goal or to draw a penalty, or take a hit to make a play, a big play, get a puck out or what have you. You know, it's not always the star players. Those star players have enough pressure on them to score and come up with the big plays. But the foot soldiers are really important in creating that momentum that they go out and do their part. And that's the difference now in the game than it was, you know, when I played, is the fourth line guy can skate as well as the top line guy, with the exception of McDavid, because nobody can skate as well as him. But everyone can skate well, and everyone can check. So if you're not a goal scorer, you better be checking hard, taking a hit, giving hits, and doing those little things to help your team win, because that's all necessary on winning in hockey today. And the teams that have the guys that are willing to do those, you know, those kind of unspectacular and things that don't show up in the score sheet duties, those are the teams that'll win.
And how much more compelling does it kind of become when your top players embrace that? You're right. You need to kind of go to a different level in the playoffs. You need certain players that find a way to be successful, even though the game has changed. But like last night, we're watching Elias Pettersson. We're watching even Brock Besser. I mean, you know, Jake gets in and does his thing as well. But you're seeing those young guys really embrace the moment. Pettersson's playing physical. He's getting on the forecheck, backchecking. When you see a guy like that, who's not typically known to be that aggressive, show that in the playoffs, I mean, he is the most talented player on the team. What kind of effect does that have throughout the roster, and what does that mean to a club?
Well, no question. And you know, the teams, and it goes from, you know, the details, everyone willing to commit to the details and not just worrying about, I'm here to score goals. Everyone willing to play on the other side of the puck, the defensive side or the side that needs to get the puck back. And your star players do that. And that again makes the team closer, because those guys get the utmost respect from the foot soldier. Because the foot soldier sure appreciates what they can do offensively, and then vice versa. And the goal scorers appreciate what the foot soldiers can do. And everyone, you know, taking the next step to do a little bit more, your job and then some, makes the difference. And, you know, when you got Jay Beagle and Brandon Sutter and those guys, they're going out and they're going to do everything they can to play well defensively. Try to chip in some offense. It's going to be limited, but they're going to kill penalties. They're going to win faceoffs. They're going to get pucks in and out, and you're going to need that down the strokes, because the best players are playing against the best players most nights, and you're going to have to be able to play well away from the puck. And you know, the teams that get guys, their star players, to buy in right through the game, both sides of the puck, again, I keep saying, that are the teams that are going to win. And it's details, and it's the mandate that everyone does their job and then some.
How much of the he talked about, Sat talked about Pedersen and kind of standing up to that physicality last night. How much of that was in Bure in that run? I mean, we all remember the elbow on Churlatim, which is it's more dirty than tough maybe, but he also didn't shy away from making room for himself when he could.
Well, that was a galvanizing moment for Pavel's career and Pavel as a player. Pat Quinn came to me at the end of the year and he said, you know, it's playoffs, you know, you're going to have to, you know, make sure you're involved physically, some fights and, you know, do your thing. You gotta do your thing in the playoffs and play hard and stick up for Pavel. And I said, yeah, I said, you know, Pat, I said, we got to get Pavel to play hard and play a little harder and not just take a whack and just shy away or just not show that, not that he was shying away, but he just doesn't show enough emotion that he cares when he gets whacked. And Pat says, okay, you do your part, I'll do my part. So he talked to Pavel and when he laid out, like Churla was, I didn't play against Churla. Churla was the captain of their team. He was checking every time in Dallas, Pavel's on the ice, Churla's on the ice. So unless I was going to play right wing with Pavel, that wasn't going to happen. Because, you know, I couldn't keep up them for one thing. So Pavel took things in his own hand and he did, was a dirty play. It was amazing. He never got penalized, never got fined, never suspended for it.
Man, he'd be thrown out of the league today. Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, they give him life for trying to help out. You know, that's the Gordie Howe elbow. I've seen Marc Messier do that in an exhibition game, and he got 5 minutes, but that was it. But so that's the important thing that you show your teammates and you show the other team, you're not going to take any shit. You know, right. You got to play through it. You know, but you're not going to take abuse. You're not going to take in all the extra stuff, and you're going to play hard and you're going to play through it. But at the end of the day, you have to stand up for yourself. And Pavel sure did that, and that we were all just, it was jaw dropping during the game because you're watching, you see it, and you're kind of going, oh my God, he's going to get life. No penalty, no arm, nothing. Over. Then they're scraping Shane off. I'm a good friend of Shane. He's a wonderful guy. I love him.
He is a good guy, yeah.
And man, that was, he was out cold. So, you know, those are great things for Pedersen, you know, I coached against him in the World Junior, and I know what kind of player is. He plays hard. You know, a lot of people talk about Swedes being a little bit, you know, unemotional, and I love that player. He's a hell of a player. He's going to be a hell of a player as he gets older and gets stronger.
Tim Hunter. Go ahead, Zat.
No, I mean, on the Bure thing, and, you know, Pedersen is a lot different because it's not the same situation, but how much did the perception change around players that went after Bure after that? Like, did somebody like almost think twice to some degree about really targeting Pavel because they knew they might get an elbow in the face?
Well, they knew that he just wasn't going to take any shit, and he could outskate anybody, and very smart and crafty. I remember playing with Kent Nielsen. Kent Nielsen was the first guy. And he said, I said, so what do you do when, you know, these guys, I said, you're chatting with some guy and he's trying to, you know, tell you he's going to kill you and do this and that and the other thing. And he's like, I just say, listen, you ever get in the shooting lane and I have the puck, I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with the puck. So you want to mess with me, that's what's going to happen to you. I'll hit you right between. And guys knew because Kent could hit the crossbar from center ice three times in a row. So he wasn't messing. He knew. They knew. So those are the things, you know, the smart guys, you know, like, you know, I've coached Alex Ovechkin, and he just says, don't go there with me, pal. I'm 230 pounds. I'm 230 pounds, and I'm as thick as I am tall. I'll crush you, so don't go there.
Tim Hunter joins us. Before I let you go, like, so, you know, 800 games and you had over 3,000 penalty minutes. I'm sure, you know, anytime you do an interview or something or someone comes up to you in a bar, they want to talk about your fights and fighting and all that kind of stuff. You scored 62 goals over the course of your career, but in Tim, in the 1988 playoffs, you had 4 goals in 9 games. What happened? Did you get hypnotized? Like,
Well, it's really funny. Hockenlew scored four goals as well, and I was tied for the lead in the team in playoff scoring. And Ron McLean did an interview with me, and he says, the scoring touch, where'd that come from? I said, well, my wife has got me doing more dishes at home, so it must be the palm olive that's softening my hand. And boy, did he laugh. You know, it was just one of those games, and it was a gritty series. And, I mean, I never scored a goal any further from 5 or 6 feet away from the net. So it wasn't like I blew down the wing like Lanning and ripped one by the goalie. They were all off my ass and in, or redirect, or rebound, and or it was laying on the goal line and pushed it across. That was about it. So just one of those lucky situations that I was able to gather up some points. And but it wasn't meant to be. We didn't win the series, so wasn't that great.
Hey, Tim, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of this Vancouver series or whatever hockey you're watching. We appreciate it.